Well, in Japan, we don't always wear them. Let's see. If it's as scary as I thought it would be. The wives don't scare me, but I can't remember a time when I've gotten up here with so many husbands sitting down there, and I kind of feel on the wrong end of things. A little topsy-turvy, but that's perhaps you'll forgive me because most Americans consider Japan a topsy-turvy country. That's because when you enter a house, you take off your shoes and not your hat. And where you scrub and get clean outside of the bathtub instead of in. And where footnotes are at the top of the page. And Japanese mourners wear white instead of black. And let's see what else. You heat the wine and you serve the fish raw. And not all the gardens have flowers, very few in fact. They have rocks. And where cats have no tails, did you know that? They don't chop them off either, they just don't have tails. And where the women help the men off with their coats. You like that? But you probably will. Great many of you find yourself overseas one of these days. And so before you go, while you're sitting here, what are the adjustments that you might expect a wife to have? Of course, it will depend on the country. But before we go into some of the actual ones, let's try to think, what might be most difficult for you, you knowing yourself as you do? Maybe the husbands ought to answer this, I don't know. What kind of problems would you consider the main ones that wives might have? And I'm going to ask somebody else to write up here. How about you? You got good handwriting? I have lousy handwriting, and that's just part of the reason. Anybody got any ideas? What kinds of things are written down in these papers that we got back in this survey? You pass the buck on to somebody else then. What problems do you think wives might have, especially overseas? I'm asking anybody. Wives, husbands, children, anybody?
Shopping.
Okay. Bugs, yeah, creepy crawlers. And cockroaches, and I'd never even seen a cockroach in the States, and they have them with antenna. They're about that long over there. Bruce?
Trusting God for the children.
Trusting God for the children. Let's put the children. Somebody else back there. Jan, did you have your hand up? There's too many, too fast, huh? Inconvenience of things. What else? Cheryl? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Inefficiency? That's what I heard before I came back this time. We've had quite a bit of trouble getting things fixed here this time. I was sort of surprised. What were you going to say, Pat? Were we going too fast? Mm,
that's great.
Loneliness. Any others you can think of? Well, thank you. I'll need you again. Okay, now of all the ones that we had come back on this survey, what do you think was the top problem? It's included in these that you've mentioned. What would you say would be the top problem?
Loneliness.
Exactly. How many of you would have expected that? Oh. Well, I was kind of surprised. And it isn't, I suppose, that I have. I guess I've been kind of blessed in a very unusual way. And though I'm sure I was very lonely on Okinawa for a while after we were married, more recently we've had the secretaries live with us. I've had Barbie Black and Yvonne Anderson and Bonnie Bobens, and before that even we had Barbara Straub. And I guess that is the reason that I was surprised, because I've never, at least I wouldn't have put that down as my main problem. Probably because I had so many others. But anyhow, I was a little surprised at this, and yet, why should I be surprised? I remember once when, I suppose it was our first furlough. Do you know that song, So Send I You to Loneliness and Longing, and all the rest that goes with it? But a wife said to me, she didn't like that song at all, and when I asked her why, she said, well, it just isn't real to think that if Christ is with you, that you could ever be lonely. How do you feel about that? I don't know what isn't real, but the loneliness is a very real experience. And another wife recently in a letter said how surprised she was to discover that she would so much rather be, well, she's speaking of the States, be here than there where she was. And this came as a very great shock to her, that she wasn't as content in one place as another. Now, why should we be surprised? I think that perhaps it can be pride that we are surprised at some of the problems we run into. We kind of want to pick and choose and select our problems. And if we've got to have problems, let's at least have the really spiritual ones. And I don't want to make a Mrs. Parkinson's Law out of this, but you know Parkinson's Law. But it seems to me, or of course you only know from your own experience, like what was that story about the Hindus trying to describe an elephant, the blind men? You remember that one? And the guy handling his tail said an elephant was just like a rope, and on and on. So you only know it from your own viewpoint. But it seems to me that you might meet trouble eyeball to eyeball in the very areas in which you think you're most prepared. At least that's what happened to me. When we went to Okinawa, I went over there to get married, and so I had stars in my eyes and cotton in my head, I guess, because not for choosing him, don't get me wrong, but now let's set the record straight that way. No, but what I meant about the cotton was that I thought I had it made and that I wouldn't have any adjustments, because I had grown up in the country. And though Bob tried to prepare me for the crude conditions that we were going to meet, no electricity, there was electricity at night, part-time, and no running water, and all this. It was an Okinawan hut, on and on. Yet, I just felt, because we had lived so far out in the country, I was born on the edge of a cliff, way out on the edge of the prairie, the Lone Prairies. And we had a very outhouse and no electricity at all, even part-time. And so I just thought, with that background, that I wouldn't be troubled. And everything bothered me. And the heat and the cockroaches and the rats and the rain. One May, the May that Holly was a baby, it rained 28 days. And everywhere you turned, a wet diaper would slap you in the face, and a few things like that. And no refrigerator for a long time. I mentioned the electricity, and that's so helpful when your wedding gifts are composed largely of an electric oven and a waffle iron and a toaster and things like that. But I wasn't all as prepared with my childhood background as I thought, and thieves broke through and stole. You remember that verse, and the mold and the moths and the rust doth corrupt, and the Lord just had to show me that it was a spiritual battle, and that he had to work inside my heart instead of letting me depend on what I thought was my background and my fussy old heart. And when I was sitting here in the States in an easy, cozy armchair, I remember reading a statement that I thought was just so terrific, and I took it to Okinawa with me, and I don't know who said it even. It says, I offer you a life of extreme service with no complaining on your part and no explaining on mine. And I thought, oh, that's really great. And then I got over there, no complaining, not any. But better than that was the verse that the Lord's still trying to work on in all these different situations, in Matthew 11:6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And I was kind of blaming everybody else for having no refrigerator and all this and on. And when I just started not blaming everybody and just not being offended in the Lord for where he had put me, then I got a refrigerator and all kinds of things. But anyhow, that's marriage was another place that I thought I would have no adjustments, because I had the really great privilege of living with Lila Trotman and Ruth Graham, and I had read Ephesians 5. What more did you need? Well, we won't go into that. And all I was really going to say was that we kind of like to pick our own problems. For instance, it's a lot easier for me to tell you that the language, the world's hardest language, just drives me up a wall, than it is to stand here and tell you that my number one problem was trying to learn to love another missionary wife. And so we'd rather kind of avoid the kind of problems that we run into. And I think we sometimes think that, well, we've been so well trained and we're so solid and, solid citizens that that's why we're surprised when something sneaks around the corner and hits us over the head. Amy Carmichael says, Why should I start at the plow of my Lord that maketh deep furrows on my soul? He is no idle husbandman. He purposeth a crop. And Dick Hillis said in the first missionary conference that I ever attended overseas, while we were gone, the thieves broke through and took all of our wedding presents, so we didn't have to worry about all those things after all. But the thing that was really outstanding, and that's the only thing I remember, he said, never consider yourself invulnerable to any of Satan's attacks. And I thought that was really good, don't you? With that, you already guessed the main problem. And so many of these, actually, you could lump it under. You can't hear me if I turn my back, can you? You could lump it under, some of these things that were mentioned. What would be the one word you could lump it under? Like the shopping and the inconvenience and the, what was the, actually all of those.
Adjustment or adapting?
To a foreign culture or to a place. So I put the things place. Oh, you won't be able to read it. You want to write it for me? Place, people, and personal. And interestingly enough, out of the 15 major categories that they seem to fall into, probably only 7 of them would apply or would be peculiar to overseas. So many of them are just the same kind of things you would have wherever you are. Problems with priorities, with finances, with personality conflicts, with health, I suppose. That would be more overseas, I guess. And then ministry and lack of communication with husband. Those are all things that go with you wherever you are, and your children. But everything starts with the place and then goes on from there. And I don't know if we'll write all the 15 down. I don't think so. But we could write here the adjustment to cultural differences. And you've already mentioned that, the time spent in shopping and repairs and all this. So you could put underneath that household matters. That covers the fact that you get a recipe out of Better Homes and Gardens and you think, hey, this sounds so good, and then you start to think how you could make it, and you end up, you can't. And then the language, of course, that would have come almost first. As I said, loneliness was number one, but it would be because they're adjusting to, because of the place, though I put loneliness under people. And language, and then under people I put children. Are they people? Here, too, this involves playmates and all the problems you run into with your children over there. And communication with husband. I didn't know where to put that. Where do you put that? I put it there. I guess he's a people, too. And then a maid. That was a problem for someone who wrote in. That was, in fact, her only problem, was how to get along with the maid. And this was one I put with people, but I expect it would apply here as well as there. Pushing husband for advancement. I don't know, but that was a problem to someone. And then in the personal, I didn't give you the numbers of if you were interested in how many main problems were what. Be okay. Well, it's kind of hard because I think that all of them really fit because they're the place. But adjustment to cultural differences, who actually mentioned that, were 18. Household matters were 13. Language was 10. And loneliness was 19. Children were 6. Communication with husband was 6. Maid was just 1. Only one person had trouble having a maid. How about that? And pushing husband for advancement was just 1. And under the personal is just your walk with the Lord. 4. Priorities. 3. Ministry. 6. Health. Going too fast.
Ministry 6.
Uh-huh. 3. Oh, and being misunderstood and personality conflicts. I guess you could put that together. Personality conflicts, that's 2. And finances, 2. Think of that, only 2 people. Oh. And then there were 2 people who wrote in, and their wives had no problem. One said, "My wife is as problem-free as wives can be. So maybe I ought to give you their names so you can go get together with them." And then, thank you, I think that's all we'll put there for now. One said that it was far easier overseas than it was in the States, that there was no pressure on them. And they're kind of new over there, just between us. But that's what they said. And so now we have this. And before we go into what their suggestions were as to what could be done, I'd like to get some of yours. I don't know. How do you do this? Hey, what are we going to do about this, especially these major problems of loneliness and adjustment to cultural differences and this kind of thing? What can best be done to prepare a wife for going overseas? You probably got a lot of this with the other sessions that would apply both. George.
Just want to ask a question for clarification, Jean. Mm. What do you mean by loneliness?
Well, I think that's a good question. They meant two things, I think, primarily. Just what we think of when we think of loneliness anywhere. And then the aloneness that comes from being a foreigner and being out of it. Being not with those that really understand you. And then for Nav Wives, this came out quite often, the special type of fellowship that the Nav Wives enjoy that they do not have. And no church to feed you and this kind of thing. Thank you. Like I think it was Noel wrote in, and that was Karen's biggest problem. But he said, "I don't know what you could do about it." But is there something that you can do about it?
Send someone else.
You mean
pears?
That's a good idea. Is somebody supposed to go with them?
Well, they're going to be with them.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say? Oh, good. Bill?
I'm wondering if you can. I don't know about girls.
You don't know about girls?
Well, a little bit. But, like, when we went to the Middle East thing, and I've heard of, let me preface this, of guys laying on boards, sleeping on boards, and letting cockroaches walk on them, and, you know, stuff like that. But I'm wondering if it's really possible, you know, to really be at it, you know, prepared where when you get there, you're not going to have any problems. I mean, if that is very realistic.
You think that it is possible to be that well prepared?
You could move to the middle of Iowa, I guess, or something. But I mean,
I wonder if Wycliffe's jungle camp is a helpful preparation for those people.
Does anybody know? Hasn't that a Jungle Jane right there? Life with Advocaat. I don't know. What do you think? Yes.
In talking with some of the gals here in the States, I've noticed that there's a great variety according to temperament and personality, I think, in those of us who have more of a problem with loneliness than others. It just never has been one of my problems any place I've been, but I think a lot of it's just my particular temperament, because I've seen some gals here in the States who are sent to a contact point in an isolated situation, and this has been a major problem. So I think that if you recognize here at home that you have a tendency this way, then maybe you ought to specifically go to the Lord yourself to find out some things that you can do. And I know I have some certain old things, patterns of thinking and habits of thinking, I always adopt a new approach to each of them. There's any situation of loneliness that has become a habit over the years. A lot of it's just positive praise to the Lord that He's in control, and this is what He has for your husband, and He can keep it on that level. And maybe, I don't think there's any reason to think this is going to be accentuated overseas, but if you are already having a big problem with it here, then yes, you probably are. It's a feature of any problem.
What does some of the rest of you think?
Wouldn't it be helpful to visit and get to know people from that culture in this country before you go over?
I would think it would be very, very helpful, but I don't know how you could always do that. You could write to them, certainly.
Well, big cities usually have people from every nationality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have their own
I was thinking of this. I don't know whether this might backfire and this causes you to be more homesick, but having somebody, you say the lack of understanding, of it, you know, having somebody that you write to, that writes to you consistently, that you can kind of just express yourself to and get a reply back and you understand and correspond intimately with you.
This was a suggestion made by one that before they leave, they sort of get a buddy in the States that would be a sounding board, could keep confidences that they could share deeply with by mail. And sound like a good idea.
Now, are you thinking of someone that's married already or just a single person?
I don't know. I kind of thought wise. Sorry. No, I guess we're talking mainly about wives today. And so I wasn't really thinking about it. But what were you going to say?
Well, getting married is quite an adjustment in itself.
Yes. I think you'd say that. What were you going to say? To hush. Okay, well, I don't know if I should read now. I have a list of about 20 suggestions that came in along with the problems. Some of them you've sort of covered already. But should I read a few of them now or later? Save it for after the panel. Okay. Some of them were like, read more about the country. Someone suggested we could get a handbook together of practical helps for wives. And that you'd have to elaborate on. Oh, and remember for the lonely ones that if you're that single girls don't even have a husband. That kind of helps to remember that, doesn't it? And one suggested that Dawson's questions to missionary candidates be given to all the NAV, even the wives going overseas. The questions being, how is your quiet time now, regular? Are you satisfied you are meeting God on a regular basis? Have you personally ever led anyone to Christ? Do you feel qualified to help a young Christian grow? Why or why not? I guess these were what he gave to Wycliffe and the different boards he was on. And we're right on target for about three different people said to have adequate orientation and preparation beforehand. All staff be given 1 or 2 weeks of orientation in a group situation. That's what somebody said, so there you are. And extra experience in the States. Some of the people had only been to the Glen, and this had never ever been in an area, and that was a problem. Oh, some of these are mine and some of these are theirs, so let's see. Oh, write to NAV wives before going to the ones on the field. And as she suggested, meet some nationals before leaving the States. Getting together with other staff wives on the field and finding out what other wives have done to contact their neighbors and to get involved, that there's no real excuse for being lonely usually. You can do something about it. Be involved with other people, mail, telephone, and take initiative. And then some of mine are, I'll read theirs first. Bring a medical book along, experience in first aid, depending on where you were going. A Red Cross course maybe, or at least a home nursing baby type book would be very helpful. And as Nancy said, two families in a place together is very important. Basic skills and training in home economics are helpful. And it seems to me that a wife needs to be independent to a great extent because a husband has gone a great deal overseas. And I know some wives in Japan that they're not NAV wives, of course, who just are afraid to drive and are just kind of afraid to get out. And they send their husband, lots of times he does the shopping or has to go with them, and that kind of over-involves a husband. So you have to be able to cope with a lot of emergencies, even though you don't maybe know what a Phillips hand screwdriver is or something that, because Bob is hardly ever home when something really breaks down big. And he's working on it, though. And I think you just should expect it to be more demanding over there, and yet somebody says it's not. It's just different. But if you have to try to learn, go to language school, and you have to have the children, and a maid doesn't solve everything, believe me. So you just, what they said about you expecting these things is going to help a lot. You know, expect nothing and then you won't be disappointed. And I had a cartoon given to me right after we were married on Okinawa. And I don't know quite why it was given to me, but here was this couple. They had nothing in this room except just a little low table, no chairs, no furniture, and just a messy, you know, holes in the walls and everything. And the woman says to the guy, George, when you said nothing was too good for me, I somehow pictured it a little differently. And you just have to expect things to take longer and expect to be laughed at and make lots of mistakes in the language. And that's kind of hard. You have to really stick your nose out there, even though you know you're going to make a mistake. And there you go. And I wanted to save a little bit of time here, and I don't have any time left, for what to me was one of the most important things that came up fairly consistently in different ways about the husband-wife communication. And I want to read to you what a couple of people said about that. Jim Peterson, I'll love him forever. Listen to this. In our case, it was the absolute absence of buddies with whom Marge could fellowship. I discovered that I had to help fill that gap, and I began to assume responsibilities toward her that were mine all along, that I had always before left up to her friends, the church, and so forth. The solution, in part, is to prepare the husband. He needs to learn the art of communicating in depth with his wife. And then this, there's no name on this. The name's on the front part. I don't have. Pray that God will give a lady friend where she can unload her emotional buildup and just plain have a buddy. I think the husband must realize he is responsible for her. If she is depressed, it's his job to help her. This takes time and frustrates you a little because then you can't get as much done. Forget about all that. Forget about all that you were able to accomplish in the States. You are in a foreign culture and it is going to take you more time to live. Just count on it. If you neglect this responsibility of caring for your wife, in a few years you can be certain you will be packing your bags for home. Well, that's the way he feels about it. And this thing about emotional build up and escape valves and all, I was going to have that as a problem, because I have in one particular case seen on the field where the wife was just a perfect mother to her children, so patient and just was just ideal, and the same to her husband, and I couldn't believe that it was the same woman who absolutely laid out practically, not with her fists, but by words, in an Oriental man. And just all out of proportion to what he had done, or what he had not done, actually. And we talked about it afterwards, and she just said, well, I have to have an escape valve somewhere. I can't let off with steam with my kids and with my husband. And so that was that. And that might be a question. I don't know what you think about that, but... I think it's time. I don't know why I think that.